Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage and get a secure, transparent home loan approval in minutes. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The music of the indie pop husband and wife duo Tennis takes the dreamy sounds of the 70s and brings them to today like a dream from last night. Their latest album, Yours Conditionally, explores relationships, what's given, what's promised, and what's not. They're with us in the studio this hour on Point, Tennis. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Do you know Tennis? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK, or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me now in the studio is the duo Tennis, Elena Moore, vocalist, guitarist, and keyboard player, and Patrick Riley, guitarist, bass player. Their new album is Yours Conditionally. Elena, Patrick, thanks a lot for being here.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I know you're on tour, so taking time out to talk in the morning is a gift. We appreciate it. Thanks.
Absolutely.
So we get a lot of CDs here, you know, and I have a kind of a cruel game I play. I just throw a stack in the front seat next to me in the car. While cars still have CD players, right? I assume they won't.
Yeah, the last place.
Yeah, and then I've got my own private gong show where I'll just sort of put them in one after another. And, you know, God bless everybody who makes their CD and gets their music out there. But, of course, many just don't appeal to me.
Mm-hmm.
And a few years back, I was doing this on the way home, and I must have put in already, I don't know, a dozen and flipped them into the back seat. They didn't make the cut. And then I put one in. It was a group called Tennis. I'd never heard of this group before. It was an album called Young and Old. And I think that was 2012 or something.
It was, yeah.
And your sound just grabbed me immediately. And I've been listening ever since and really enjoying it. So I'm really glad you're here today.
Thank you. I'm honored we made the cut. I understand that way of experiencing music. It's kind of the same for me as well. Just resonates instantaneously or it doesn't.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's usually sort of, you know, 10 or 15 seconds, which is what's cruel about it, mm-hmm. because people have poured themselves into these CDs for 10 or 15 seconds, and either it sort of resonates or it doesn't. And the question, well, let's listen to a little more of your music. Then I've got a question about it. This is Baby Don't Believe. This is off the new album, Yours Conditionally. So our listeners who may not know, you can get a little more of this in their heads before we dive in. Baby Don't Believe, Tennis, the new album is Yours Conditionally. Sample there. Baby Don't Believe, you get the idea. Listeners of a certain age will be taken right back by that. It's very popular right now as well. So, Elena Moore, Patrick Riley, you came up with this. There's a whole story around that, but why this sound? I mean, it's been pretty consistent, not perfectly, but pretty consistent from the beginning. What took you to this sort of 70s reverb recreation that is now your trademark?
I don't think there was like a huge intention behind it. It's just naturally what came to mind when both of us tried to make music. Like, we didn't have like an overarching plan, like, oh, this is totally going to work. Like, we'll bring back like 60s and 70s production, and like, that's going to be, you know, the thing that makes our band successful. But
yeah, I was thinking just more like pragmatically. I think a lot of it is just kind of like chance and coincidence. Like, girl groups was our starting point. That was our point of entry into songwriting, because it was the first time that our tastes so clearly overlapped into mm-hmm. something that seemed achievable and recreatable for us.
Girl groups like?
the Shirelles, basically like anything Phil Spector, Joe Meek production. Yeah, totally. And we actually came at it mostly from the production point of view. And then as our songwriting evolved, it just has naturally progressed like throughout like musical history, I suppose. And I think in the same way that music, as it evolves in reality, it's always a response to what came before it. That's the way our songwriting has evolved. So we've just sort of meandered through time into the singer-songwriter era of the 70s, which has really suited my songwriting because I've been able to find women songwriters, whereas the girl group era, everything, except for, of course, like Carole King, who's one of my all-time heroes, who was writing at the time, but very few women were also writing at that
until
time.
Until the 70s, then you start to have a lot more.
Exactly. So I think landing there has really suited us in the course of our evolution.
Let's listen back to the first album. This is 2011. You had met at University of Colorado, Denver. This is the one where we went sailing down the eastern seaboard,
And
wrote while you were at sea.
We wrote actually after we were done sailing.
We were just like super nostalgic for the trip, and it's all we could think about. And we felt like the best way to like kind of
capture it
was to just write songs about it.
Let's listen to some of that. First album, Cape Dory. This is Marathon from Tennis.
We didn't realize that we had arrived at high tide.
Okay, I'm trying to hear the sea chanty in there, how this sound was capturing you out on the waves in your, you got a 30-foot sailboat.
Yeah, and
I think the connection there was this story in particular, the song Marathon, is the account of our first time sailing through the night, which I was very, very, I was loath to do. When we finally made it safe and sound to Marathon, Florida, we rowed our little dinghy rowboat to this little tiki bar, and they were playing the Shirelles' Baby It's You.
Okay.
We only had enough money to split one celebratory beer, so we were sharing this beer and listening to Baby It's You, and for some reason it became like emblematic of that experience.
Yeah.
So here now we write about this later.
How did you Coloradans become sailors?
Who knows?
That's a question for Patrick.
Yeah. My dad took me once when I was in middle school, and that was enough to just like make it the focal point of my life. Like I started saving in high school for a sailboat, like working at a gas station and teaching tennis and doing as many odd jobs as I could, and slowly
goal of buying a boat.
Saving for a boat.
I love imagining like a really young Patrick being on a boat one time and going, yep,
that's
this,
it.
This it.
That's my life.
I will work at the gas station until I can have one of these.
Yeah, I think the freedom of it is what draws me to it.
Where did you sail on that first?
It was San Diego.
Big sail. No, the first one?
Us. We bought the boat in Tampa, Florida, just totally on a whim. We didn't like choose that location as a starting spot, but we found the boat there.
We practiced sailing in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
More like crashing.
Yeah,
we crashed
made
around
so many
Tampa
mistakes.
Bay.
And then, you know, crashed our way down to the Florida Keys and then crashed our way to the Bahamas and then up to Baltimore, where
long trip.
We couldn't find any jobs in Baltimore, and we kind of got hit with the like recession of 2008, and we were so ignorant at the time, and then we ended up having to go back to Denver and
leave our boat behind, and hence that record.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you made it. We're taking the show down to Tampa later this week. You got a national listening tour going on. We'll be in Tampa with our listeners
there.
That's
lovely.
Yeah,
awesome.
Really looking forward to it. What about the music side of this? You were crazy about sailing. Were you both early musicians?
We were both music majors, and we both dropped out.
I should clarify, failed music majors, like with Fs on my, like I cried my way out of a sight singing and ear training final. And he was like, okay, I won't tell anyone if you don't tell anyone. Yeah. Just, it's maybe change your major.
What's ear singing?
Well, it's sight singing and ear training.
Sight singing, ear training.
Sight singing.
Oh, I see. Just singing right off the notes. Sheet music.
And you just have to sing it correctly, the exact note. It's insane. I can't do that.
Without any context.
Well, you get your opening note, just your key signature, and then that's it. I'll never be able to do that. And I'll never understand why you have to be able to do that to be a good musician, but apparently you do.
So you became philosophy majors, but the music stayed in the blood.
Because that seemed much easier to me. I was like, whoa, philosophy, a piece of cake compared to this.
Oh, yeah, give me Kant as opposed to sight reading.
Hey, I got an A in my Kant final, but... in my music major.
And here you are.
Yeah.
We definitely closed the door hard, though. Like, both of us, when we dropped out of music school, we were like, that's it. I'm never touching a guitar again. I don't want to, ever try to make music again.
A lot of burnout from that.
So it took 2 years after, dropping out of music school to reapproach music again as tennis. Yeah.
Are you now, I mean, you've had wonderful success. Are you committed to lifelong professional musician status?
Oh, I don't know. We're committed to lifelong self-employment.
That's very cool.
That's all we want.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think that's what any band wants. They just want to exist.
Yeah, exactly. They want to lead creative lives and work for themselves. That's all we want at the end of the day.
I think you're doing better than existing right now. And it's beautiful to listen to. Elena Moore and Patrick Riley are with me in the studio. Their duo is Tennis, husband, wife, artists. You can join us this hour. Do you know Tennis? Where do they take you? What do you hear in their sound? Does it sound like the 70s playing in the distance made fresh? Behind us right here off the new album Yours Conditionally is 10 Minutes, 10 Years. Elena Moore, Patrick Riley, it's great to have you here. Please stand by. Listeners, you can join us 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm joined in the studio today by the husband-wife duo, Tennis. Dreamy pop sound with their own gloss on a throwback material from the 1970s. The new album is Yours Conditionally. This is Please Don't Ruin This For Me off of the new album. Elena Moore, right there singing, and behind her, with her, Patrick Riley. College Sweethearts, they're making a go of it in a big way. Tennis. Callers for all you guys. This all started with a sailboat out of Tampa, Florida. Nolan is calling from Tampa, Florida. Hi, Nolan. You're on the air with Tennis with Elena and Patrick.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Great. What do you hear? What do you know?
So I just wanted to say, first off, it's great to have Tennis on here. I think they're a very underrepresented and underrated band. So going back to discussing about Cape Dory, their first album, by far, what I heard just now about you guys coming out of Tampa, where I'm from, I have a boat myself, and every time I plug in Cape Dory, it brings me to the water, it brings me out to the freedom that you were mentioning, and I just think you guys hit the nail on the head with the feel of that album.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I'm so honored to hear that.
Totally.
Tampa speaks. Tampa still hears it. You went back to the sea. Nolan, thanks so much for calling from Tampa. You went back to the sea to make this new album, right? Another
different coast. Yeah. But
where'd you go? Where'd you sail?
Sea of Cortez, which is that sliver of water.
It's a very, very large, very
large
deep, very ominous sliver of water.
You sailed south from San Diego this time.
Yeah, into Mexico. Mm-hmm. I think after, it's been about 7 years since that first trip that began in Florida.
Yeah.
And in the interim, we spent all of that time building up tennis, figuring out, you know, what our abilities are, mm-hmm. how far can we take it, mm-hmm. how substantial can it become, mm-hmm. Because there wasn't a lot of confidence in an internet sensation, like a buzz band is what we were called. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, nobody knew what our future would be. And after four releases, we felt like it was time to return to our roots and kind of get something more. I felt like we were losing the, like, freedom and authenticity, like just mm-hmm. that joy of
or like the
expression.
Carelessness,
yeah. Exactly.
I've read that your last album was a struggle to bring out somehow.
It was. And I think that was an important experience for me because no one really models for you. I feel like the art world is like shrouded in mystery, which is part mm-hmm. of the appeal. Mm-hmm. But no one explained to me how hard and grueling and just like labor intensive writing can be. Mm-hmm. It's not always just like visited by a muse and inspiration
right.
flowing
Angels
out
in
of
the
you.
Night. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Which honestly, Cape Dory was that easy because mm-hmm. it was just free and unreflective. It was just like a natural outpouring mm-hmm. of like a joyous point in our lives when we were young. We were like 23. Now I'm almost 32. Yeah. I'm just at a different point in my life.
And maybe different expectations when people are waiting for your album and they're like, hey, yeah. let's make this good.
Oh,
absolutely. What do you got?
Yeah. It only takes realizing once the moment you have an audience, you will inevitably write for your audience from that moment on. So we thought that kind of synthesizing elements from that first experience with what we've learned and mm-hmm. taken since then mm-hmm. would be like a really good way, we hoped, to kind of jumpstart our writing process again. So, yeah, we felt like it was time, so we went sailing again.
Set sail. Let's listen to a little more from the new album. This is Fields of Blue, Tennis, from the album Yours Conditionally. Tennis with that wonderful, fresh sound out of the 70s somehow that just takes me every time. Laura in St. Petersburg, Florida. Florida's calling today for Tennis. Hi, Laura. You're on the air with Elena and Patrick.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to call, and it's funny because we just moved down here to the Tampa Bay area. But Tennis has been in my life for the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. When I left art school, I found myself, I traveled to New Zealand without much money to my name and learned to surf and listen to them throughout my 20s. And they've just been such a, they've created a sense of nostalgia. Whenever I listen to them, I think about all the times I've been able to escape and travel and go surfing.
Oh, my gosh.
And in New Zealand, no less.
I know. That's incredible. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Tennis in the earbuds in New Zealand, learning to surf. That sounds pretty darn good. How do you think about how your music, I mean, you know how you make it. You know what it's mm-hmm. like to sing it and perform it. But at the other end, it's received. And people incorporate it into their lives, into their own interior soundtrack.
Yeah, it's hard. It's important that I don't think about how it will be received while I'm writing it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'll never finish anything. But this is always very surreal to hear people's feedback. And I suppose I love the idea of people associating our music with like taking their own like leap of faith into their own future, mm-hmm. You know, to do whatever thing that you need to do to bring some like fulfillment and meaning to your life. That's like really all we're ever trying to do is to have that kind of like that formative moment that will lend itself to the rest of our lives. And music has been that for us.
I mean, there's that dreamy quality, which I think of as part of your hallmark. And I always wonder, where does that come from? Is that just a personal... when you hit that sort of dreamy state, you feel like you're in the zone. Mm-hmm. Are you trying to accomplish it, or is that what flips your own triggers?
Yeah, I don't know why. I think it's just like we love reverb, I suppose.
We noticed.
Yeah. We're both like nostalgic people too.
Yeah, and I know that other people, I remember hearing something from, like, I mean, this is like second or third hand, but I remembered hearing someone from Beach House saying, like, we'll never not use reverb, so, like, get over it. We
just
love reverb.
It,
yeah, and it's just
it.
Like, I'm the same way. I'm like, yeah, reverb's just, it's like what I want in my music. So,
always sounds better.
Yeah, it's instant dreaminess.
Just turn it up.
It gets the dreamy going. Peter in Stamford, Connecticut, you're on the air with Tennis with Elena Moore and Patrick Riley.
Yes, yes. This is just so refreshing to hear Tennis, and because I hear all of the influences from the 60s. I hear, you know, Neil Sedaka, the Carpenters, the Monkees, I dare say the Beatles, you know, and this is great coming out. I mean, it goes, you know, music sort of builds on a history of, you know, the rock and roll and then the doo-wop and then going back to the big band. I mean, this is just very refreshing, and you know, you don't hear this stuff from new groups anymore, especially a group that wasn't intending on making this a throwback group. It's pure. It's you know, organic. It's not something you know, it's real, that you're not trying to imitate the 60s and you're making it something new. And hopefully music top 40, I dare say top 40, which is not what it was 40 years ago, it's going to go in a different a better direction, you know, more melodious. You know, I hear bubblegum groups. I hear the Jackson 5. I just hear a whole bunch, you know, back into the folk era. It's great. The sound is great. And I've never, you know, like you, Tom, I haven't heard of Tennis until today in this program. And I appreciate you bringing them on.
Oh, really happy to bring them. I mean, I have to say I've been listening to them for years now and really enjoying it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate what you said. We definitely don't want to be like, we don't want to rehash something that's already been done so well by the best, by what decidedly the best artists of all time, you know. So we don't want to be, you know, derivative or unoriginal, but we know what inspires us. And you're right, I love pop music. I love really strong melodies, and I want to write songs where each melody cues the next moment in the song. And something about that writing style of the past. It is really different than the style that's going on in contemporary music, which I also really enjoy, but it's just not the kind of music that I want to make. So I appreciate what you hear, especially Karen Carpenter, who is one of my patron saints of songwriting. I am obsessed with her. She's an incredible woman.
How does it feel to be counter-trend in that way? I mean, this is, as you say it, or Peter says it, you know, this isn't what you hear when you turn the radio on.
Well, it's counter top 40, but it's definitely trendy.
Okay. Yeah. You've got it both ways. Well done.
And I mean, I listen to everything. I'm not like a person who only listens to music from the past. I listen to all genres from all moments in time, and I don't want to miss out on something new that's occurring, but I know where my influences are and what I'd like to do with my own work.
Let's hear more. This is from the new album, Yours Conditionally, My Emotions Are Blinding. Vehicle, material, even Madonna creeps in there. Leslie in Chatfield, Minnesota, you're on with Tennis. Elena Moore and Patrick Riley.
Hi, Tom. Hi, guys. Yes.
Hi.
I, too, this is the first time I've heard of this band, and I just didn't notice it so much in that last song, but up until then, it just screams Stevie Nicks. Your voice is beautiful.
Thank you. Compliment of a lifetime.
Oh, I know it. I could hear I could hear Stevie so much, and it was, you just have a beautiful captivating voice. And Tom, I have a compliment for you. I love this show. I love not politics.
Listen, I'm so happy to be off politics for a change too. Believe me, we're in it together there, Leslie, and thank you very much for your call. Stevie Nicks?
I'm going to write that in my diary tonight.
I'm sure it's not the first time you've heard it. But I also read, I mean, Leslie, you know, she's a big compliment. She clearly loves your voice. But I was interested in this. I read you somewhere saying, Elena, that when people compliment your voice, you're somehow left wanting. It's an insufficient compliment, or even you get tired of it.
No,
which is funny to hear from a singer. Though I get it because I work in a different kind of voice work too, but...
I just to clarify what I mean specifically is I love compliments. Bring them on all day. But for me, the issue is that I noticed growing up that my voice was the only thing that was like rewarded and encouraged, because I noticed this about women, like being in the music industry, being a music major in college. All of the girls were vocal performance majors, with the exception of piano majors, which is a very ladylike instrument. But there were no like electric guitar players or jazz percussion, because it's not something that's encouraged in women.
Why do you think voice is more encouraged? Why do more women end up going that way?
I think it's because I don't know how intense into gender roles we want to get right now, but
fine, let's go there.
I feel like in the male female binary, women are more associated with their bodies,
And
your
voice is
your body, exactly. In the same way that women are like, you know, she's the face of the band, she's the front person.
Yeah,
so women
Stevie Nicks
are
or whoever.
Yeah, women are the brand, the voice. They aren't the mastermind, and even in contemporary songwriting teams, the man is the writer and the woman is the voice of the song, and that's fine, and that's like a great way to work. But I feel like women aren't encouraged to be the person behind the scenes, the one crafting the story, creating the narrative, learning all the technical aspects that go to songwriting and recording. And for me, once I noticed that wasn't something I was ever being encouraged to do. Not because I couldn't, but because it was much easier to say, just sing, it comes naturally. So I've really resisted that in my professional life since then. And Patrick has been incredibly supportive of me learning how to engineer, and we both co-write equally. But all the time...
Every song or alternating songs? You're both in the lyrics. You're both in their writing.
I'm not as much a part of the lyrics, I would say. But I definitely will read them over with her we'll work them into melody and figure out, you know, an arrangement that can heighten the lyrics and make them more powerful.
And what are you thinking when you hear Elena say, I don't know about this voice stuff, this is a women get pushed into this? I mean, she's the beautiful voice out front in your duo. Are you thinking, oh my gosh, don't stop singing, love it because, you know, we need the listeners to hear you loving it?
But she also writes, so on the flip side of that is there's a whole nother like realm of writing that she's now doing today that she never did on the first album, that I think is like evolving our music to a spot where it's never been before.
Right. And it's not that I don't want to sing or be known for my voice. It's that I don't want to be reduced to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
This I understand. Absolutely. I understand.
So now she writes drum beats for our albums and bass lines and even guitar parts. Like, she'll hear it in her head now and just, you know, like spout a melody on the guitar that I should be playing. And she's usually right. Like, it's usually better than whatever I have going on.
And it's just the two of you. Everything we hear is just the two of you.
Yep.
So that means you've got a drum machine and I don't know what's going on there.
Pat plays the drums. Yeah. There is some drum machine that he occasionally programs, but we actually, for this record, I was realizing that we each wrote half of it pretty much alone. I wrote five songs, he wrote five songs, and then we produced each other's work.
Oh, that's cool. I want to come back and talk about how that works. And also, what it's like working with a spouse, working with a lover. I mean, the album is yours conditionally. That's interesting in itself. We'll come back and look at that. Elena Moore and Patrick Riley are with us. The duo is Tennis. This is Island Music off their new album, Yours Conditionally. You can join us this hour. Can you imagine making career, making art with your spouse? Do you work side by side with your husband, your wife? How is that? And what do you think of their title, their theme on this album, Yours Conditionally? Is that the way relationships are? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook with Tennis. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, it's important to work with someone you can trust who has your best interests in mind. With Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence you need to make an informed decision. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Hi, it's Tom. I'm glad you're listening to this On Point podcast. Really happy to have you here. You know, a lot of people barely know podcasts exist. They've never listened to one. Here at On Point, we want to change that. All this month, we're inviting our listeners to tell a friend about a podcast they love. Do it in real life or on social media, and make sure you let us know what you're recommending. Tell us using the hashtag TryPod. That's hashtag TryPod. And thanks. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with Tennis, the husband-wife, dreamy pop duo with her own gloss on a throwback sound of the 70s. They make it fresh. The new album is Yours Conditionally. This is Modern Woman off the album. And they're with us in the studio today. You can join us. Do you know Tennis? Where do they take you? What do you hear in their sound? And what do you think of making art with a partner, with a spouse? Modern Woman behind us right here. Bernadette's calling from Bristol, Connecticut. Elena Moore and Patrick Riley are with me in the studio, and you're with them, Bernadette. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
First, please let me say, today was the first time I'd ever heard of them. And in listening to them, in the clips that you played, I love Peter, Paul, and Mary. And I could hear the soul relaxing, but the empowerment of Peter, Paul, and Mary. And then it came as no surprise to me to hear that there's an appreciation for Karen Carpenter. I love Karen Carpenter. And I could hear the nostalgic flavor of Karen Carpenter in their music. And then something for me that was important is that there was also the foot tapping and the hip swing of Motown of the 60s.
Yeah.
And I think it is phenomenal that they're a couple and that they're working together, because it shows that, for me, for someone who lost their soulmate, it shows, yes, you can work together as a spouse. You grow together, and you can hear the growth as they discuss just the way they came about their music.
Yeah.
And I've put it on, I have it on Spotify, and I will put that album. I love the new album.
Bernadette, you are right in there.
Thank you so much. This is so kind of you. Thank you.
I love that, Bernadette. You really lined it out. A lot of people responding online as well, and I love these people's their handles. Choco Chica Cakes. Choco Chica Cakes says that you've got a bit of a Cardigans sound. Makes me think back to the Romeo and Juliet movie in the 90s. I love it.
Oh, that's like my favorite soundtrack ever.
Well, she's got your number. Real Jess says, wow, really loving this incredible nostalgic sound. And yet, it sounds new, too. Dastardly Duke writes, Tennis is one of my all-time favorite acts, a refreshing lo-fi sound. It's about substance, not flash or trend. Matt in Detroit. Matt, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
All right. Yeah, love the show and loving listening to you guys. I actually, this is the first time that I've heard you guys, and I'm really enjoying it. And, yeah, Tom was kind of already jumping onto the subject matter of what my question was about. I am an artist, I'm a musician, and I have been in a couple different situations where I've worked with romantic partners, and, yeah, just already, I remember growing up and being in bands, like, it kind of being a joke of, like, oh, yeah, being in a band is like being in a relationship, and then when you're in a band with your partner, it's, like, kind of, like, doubly so. And I'm wondering if you guys could speak a little bit to, just the challenges, I guess the challenges of navigating, like, those intense joys and intense challenges. And if you, if you have any advice to about like what's kind of like helped you guys through those challenges and like working with boundaries and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. It's totally a challenge. I think, you know, over the last, we've been doing this for almost 8 years now, and it seems like every year we reapproach it. But I think the goal that we're always shooting towards is to kind of meld our two autonomous, you know, like selves together in a some way, shape, or form, and that can be completely different, you know, song by song. Mm-hmm. But we haven't found like a overall method that's like been absolutely perfect.
We understand that historically for married writer duos, that the odds are against us.
Totally.
But I think what works for us so far is that we view our like life partnership as separate from our musical partnership, and it just happens to be that they both overlap. And that was a discovery we made together later in our relationship. That was like, I mean, just an incredible reward. We didn't know that that was even possible for our relationship. And as Patrick was saying, one thing that works for maintaining like respect and flow of work and keeping both of us creatively fulfilled and our relationship is treating each other as distinct, separate people with our own needs, our own goals with writing. Sometimes the tendency with a married couple is to conflate the two into one person. Mm-hmm. And that's it's always two totally separate people with different needs and goals. So we really try to respect that difference, and we think of our writing, our taste, as like a Venn diagram with a narrow overlap. Mm-hmm. And in that very narrow overlap, that's where Tennis gets to live. And we try to respect this fact that we come from such unique and different places.
Totally. And I should maybe also mention that we write a ton of music. Like, there's so much that doesn't get released because it doesn't pass this, like, that Venn diagram test.
Where the overlap. Like,
yeah, where the overlap isn't being, portrayed in the song.
Yep.
But through all of history, bands break up, groups break up. And is that scary?
Absolutely, yeah.
Could you break up Tennis and not break up, you know, Elaine and Patrick?
That would be our goal, because our life partnership is separate from our musical partnership. I would the musical partnership would be the first to go. That would be, I mean, my allegiance is to our relationship. And in so many ways, music was a natural outpouring of our relationship first. So, I don't know. I'm not going to glamorize marriage. I understand
it.
It is what it is. It's hard. It's real. It's two humans sharing life together, and that's complicated. Mm-hmm. So we're fully aware of that, and I don't want to like over romanticize it, but it's working because we give each other so much freedom. In fact, for this record, we wrote most of the songs separately from each other. Mostly for the sake of giving ourselves the freedom to do whatever we want. And the other person isn't sitting there going, oh, that doesn't sound like Tennis, or what am I going to do on that song?
I want to flesh this
idea. And then you put it all in a big barrel and say what works here and what doesn't for both of us?
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'll get a song to about 70%. Patrick will do the same. And then we'll be like, here's what I have. What do you think? Do you feel like this could be Tennis? And we will give each other like the yes or the no. And that's how we work.
I love it. Eric's calling from Oklahoma, Bethany, Oklahoma. Hi, Eric. You're on the air with Elaine and Patrick, Tennis.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Yeah, I'd just like to say I love the music. It's amazing. And I work also with my wife. We own a flower shop there in Bethany, and we're artists in a sense.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have it any other way, you know. We do the exact same thing, you know. I'll make an arrangement, and she'll show me. She'll say, hey, this is wrong with it. Change this real fast. Or she'll sit and make something, and I'll say, hey, you know, fill in here or do this. And, you know, it's really an amazing experience. And like you say, there's complications, you know, at times. But, I mean, it's just, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's just amazing. And you guys obviously have the same connection and motivations that we do, you know. It's great. You can just run with it and go. So
let's hear the sound of it right here off the new album. I appreciate your call from Oklahoma there, Eric. This is Ladies Don't Play Guitar off of Yours Conditionally. Depicts a woman supporting her rock star love's dreams from the sidelines. Here's Tennis, Ladies Don't Play Guitar.
Ladies don't play guitar. Ladies don't get down to the sound of it. Maybe we can play pretend. Maybe I can go down deep just to be what you need.
Ladies Don't Play Guitar. Title of the album is Yours Conditionally. Elena, what does that mean exactly, Yours Conditionally?
Yours Conditionally, I don't know if, I actually don't know if this was my idea or Patrick's idea.
I think we've both been talking about this for years at this point.
When we set our marriage vows, which were totally extemporaneous and in the heat of a moment.
Danger.
Yeah.
But great.
It worked out really well, although we don't really remember what we said, which is amazing. But it was basically like, I promise to never be an obstacle to you becoming the person you need to be. I always want to like help you along your path to like being the best you can be, in so many words. And so when we talk about yours conditionally,
we
did. Yeah.
Not just a woman
on
the
side
line.
Yeah. That was our equal promise to each other.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't promise time, by the way. We just promised that. So when we say yours conditionally, I was thinking about like these old love songs, which of course inspired our writing in the first place, like from the old girl groups. Mm-hmm. And these are, you know, unconditional promises of love, no matter how terrible
the relationship
is, you know, exactly. They're self-effacing, they're identity erasing. And I was thinking how, you know, as someone who I like to write love songs within the pop medium, and I'm still compelled by that kind of storytelling and emotion, I would want like an updated, more realistic version, which would be like healthy boundaries, a sense of self, like a true identity. And so in that sense, you would only belong to someone conditionally, like as long as it's good for you both, as long as it's healthy and respectful and mutual and all of these things. And that also really crossed over to our relationship to the music industry and our own songwriting, that we would only do this on terms that suited us. Like we realized that we don't want to do this at any cost. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's the condition.
Yeah, exactly.
There are some boundaries, expectations.
Exactly.
We're talking with Tennis, Elena Moore and Patrick Riley, LJ in Charlotte, North Carolina. LJ, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Patrick and Elena. My name is LJ. I share with her that actually my home is CSTP Beach, Florida in the Sarasota area.
Yeah,
and I'm actually in the Charlotte countryside working on my first CD. And I'm a blind singer and songwriter guitarist who has a passion and a love for the ocean and the beach. And this morning, I have not heard your music, unfortunately. But this morning, I had the radio on, and I was kind of having a really bad day because I have a $1,000 12 string been shipped to my house that's been lost.
Oh, my Lord.
We know how that feels. I'm sorry.
Lose a 12-string guitar, not good.
No, it's a beautiful handcrafted Taylor I saved up to put on, you know, on my first record. But I just wanted to share a few comments about how I perceived your music, and hopefully it'll be liberating and freeing. Well, that's what I hear this morning. A couple of the tracks, I hear a man and a woman who are very free. When folks try to give you compliments, you know, I get that. But, you know, when I hear what I heard this morning, I don't compare it to anything but freedom in a musical context and the aesthetic. And people sometimes, they only kind of, you know, they're trying to be nice and stuff, but it's like, you know, I just want you to know that I was encouraged and my heart was lifted up because I just heard it, you know, just such a sense of being free and that you're expressing yourself. And I don't hear any comparisons to anything. And I know that gets kind of old when you get, I mean, it's nice. You know, you sound like such. But, you know, my music, yeah, it sounds like a mishmash of Southern rock, folk, and country, but people say, but I can't put my finger on it, you know. And
that's your freedom, LJ. That's your freedom right there. Hey, listen, here's a hope that 12-string guitar shows up on your doorstep in about 32 minutes and everything is all right. Let me get a little bit more. Thank you for your call from Charlotte. This is Needle and a Knife off of the 2015 Tennis album, Ritual in Repeat, evoking the strength of women in conservative marriages, inspired by Alanna Moore's own mom, Needle and a Knife. Tennis from 2015's Ritual in Repeat, Needle and a Knife. Singing about your mom there.
Yeah, I was thinking about like my inheritance as a woman that's given to me by my mother, my grandmother, women who, you know, we all want the same thing, but obviously with each generation, we're able to choose more, have more freedom, more autonomy. And I was thinking about all the sacrifices that my mother made as a homemaker. She homeschooled me and my four siblings at home, and she's the reason why I could sit around and play piano and sing and explore that part of my brain all throughout my childhood, read and write, and have like a very imaginative, creative, and expressive childhood that I think is what enables me to now be a musician.
You've got a freer woman sitting next to you, Patrick.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. It is a good thing. You guys are really terrific. Where are you in the you're in Boston or Cambridge at the Sinclair tomorrow night? Where are you in your tour here? What's next?
We are almost halfway through, which is crazy. I try not to think about it. I just take it one day at a time. When you look at like a string of like 30 dates or something, it's better.
It's
not
really easy to get overwhelmed.
Yeah, I just try not to ask questions. I just show up at the next place and do the show.
Alanna Moore and Patrick Riley are Tennis. I hope you'll just keep doing what you're doing. Make it new, make it fresh, make it different every time. Keep bringing it.
I hope so, too.
That's the goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good luck on your tour.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for being with us today.
It was
Thank
a pleasure.
You.
Thank you.
The new album is Yours Conditionally. This is Matrimony from Tennis. Listeners, thanks for being with us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.